Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Terms ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Previously on Terms.
Congratulations, Madam Vice President-elect.
You flipped enough electors to cause the tie.
Yes.
You're the President of the United States, sir. You're not...
I know my actions might appear underhanded or...
They appear criminal, sir.
They're not, I assure you.
You've been planning this the whole time.
Yes, I have. Governor, I'm asking
you... You're asking me to stage a coup.
No, I'm not.
4 years from now, I will run. And God willing, I will become the first female president of the United States. That will happen when the people of this country elect me. It will not happen through some dirty trick.
Hello?
Morning, sunshine.
Ron?
You watching the inauguration?
It's fucking 5 a.m. I'm not watching anything.
Why don't you meet me at the White House and watch it there?
What?
Wake up and go to the White House.
Are you asking me to come write about this or just to mourn with you, Ron?
President Pierce said to have you here after it was over. He promised you the full interview on the day. I guess this is the day.
You're not going to the inauguration?
I wasn't on speaking terms with a lot of those people before this effort, Daniel. I'm pretty sure those bridges are well and truly burned now.
Do you have any friends besides Oliver Pierce?
Not a luxury my world allows.
So, was it worth it, now that it's not gonna happen?
Introspection's another one of those luxuries. And I'm not the one who agreed to be interviewed.
Is he really gonna answer my questions today?
If he says he's gonna do something, he'll do it.
He said he was gonna stop Dunwalk from taking office.
I'm long past thinking you win just because your cause is just. Sometimes everything you can do isn't enough. Maybe it's more important you keep charging the windmill.
I guess that makes you Sancho.
When life itself seems lunatic, who knows where madness lies?
Perhaps to be too practical is madness.
Nice. All right, you better head out soon. It's gonna take you about 5 hours.
5 hours? I'm staying like 20 minutes away.
Charles Dunwalk's moving into the White House today, Daniel. It's an absolute shit show out there.
Terms.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you be enjoying great-tasting dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals that call it home. This is dairy you can feel good about. It's great tasting, high quality organic dairy, ethically sourced from small organic family farms. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop. That's ov.coop.
Supervision of the procession to the Capitol from the White House has endured.
So that's the toilet where LBJ pissed with the door open while he talked to reporters?
President Pierce never allowed reporters in the study. Doubt that's related. You may be the first journalist in this room in 8 years, except for the remodel tour.
Something I've been wanting to ask you since I was here last time. It's pretty important.
What's that?
Is there a secret tunnel?
Of course there is.
Seriously? You're fucking with me. Wait, is there?
Jesus, sit down.
This place is tiny. Is he really working here?
Mostly works upstairs. Comes in here to read. Dunwalk has no idea how many reports and briefings are going to come over his desk in a day. Oliver was never done. Never felt like he'd done enough homework.
You think Dunwalk will do any of that?
Hell no.
They're starting the processional out front. I'm watching the White House on TV from inside the White House. I'm pretty sure that was an episode of The Twilight Zone. Can we see him from here? Wait, will some sniper shoot me if I look out that window?
Not that window. Faces the opposite way.
Oh, because we're... Right.
So with you here, does Victoria have anyone to pen the definitive who wore it better at the inauguration piece? I'm sure she's planning for the front page.
Victoria's not happy with my little hiatus, but I think the book deal will make up for it.
What'd you tell her about not publishing your story?
I told her there was nothing more to find out, that releasing unsubstantiated rumors was beneath my standards as a journalist, and I was going on sabbatical. She thinks I'm still in Austin working on a book about barbecue and lost innocence. Honestly, I wish that was true. I miss Martha. And barbecue.
Give the president a little more of your time and you can go wherever you want.
What about you?
What do you mean?
Don't worry about you, Ron. President Pierce will go back home. Dunwalk will be here. You said yourself you've got no friends and you burned all your bridges in D.C. What are you going to do?
I've been told there are beaches where people just bring you drinks while you lie around and do nothing. I think I'm going to go find one of those.
Good plan. So, how's he
taking... Hey, hold on. You're going to want to hear this.
Oh, please. That is a ridiculous sentiment.
Ooh, I like it when Montgomery gets pissed, and you know she's going to be pissed about all kinds of stuff today.
Just wait.
Talk of the two men riding in the car together was still being kicked around late last night. Yeah, I mean, it's happened in the past,
but... It was never going to happen this time.
There was discussion that with such heightened security and the reported potential threats that it might be a logistical...
It has nothing to do with logistics. These two men can't stand each other. We've seen it for at least...
Sorry, Rebecca, we're getting... All right, well, moments ago, we reported that President Pierce and President-elect Dunwalk were riding to the event separately. We're now being told that's not the case.
Oh, you're kidding.
It's not what you think, Rebecca. We've just received official word that President Oliver Pierce will not be attending the inauguration.
What?
What?
He joined several other politicians in boycotting the event.
I don't get it. Oliver Pierce leaves office as one of the most popular presidents in generations. Sure, he doesn't like Dunwalk. We all know that. And as much as we talk about it, it's not like it's the first time a president hasn't liked his successor. But he absolutely disappeared during the campaign, and now this? So after 8 years of work, Oliver Pierce's legacy becomes what?
Cabs in this town are just never on time.
Mr. President.
Morning, sir.
Smile, Ron. It's not the end of the world.
You sure? You don't look so good.
Yeah, just tired. Rebecca's been rather vicious today.
Yeah, I really thought she'd side with you on this one.
The dumbfounded look on Davis Fry's face really made this all worth it, though.
Mr. President, with all due respect... What are you doing here?
I figured talking to you guys would be more fun than sitting out there in the freezing cold.
Sir,
I wanted to answer your questions, Daniel. Thought this might be our last chance to talk for a little while, and I knew it would be chaos in here afterwards. It's already bad enough. Please forgive the bubble wrap and boxed up pictures. Looks like we're moving out of a dorm room.
I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me, Mr. President, but you can't not be there.
Clearly I can.
Why would you make this your final act as president?
It's not quite my final act. I still have a few things I'm working on in the Oval Office. Presidents like to make grand gestures by signing legislation on the last day.
But you not showing us all anyone
is... I just popped in to say hello. Let me finish up next door, and then we can start the interview.
Yes, sir.
Told you. Never stops working.
What did I miss?
The prayer, some forgettable introductions, and maybe the worst poem I've ever heard.
That's a shame. So, I'm guessing you want to know why I did all of this.
No, sir. I understand why you did all this. I want to know what made you think you could actually pull it off.
Do you know what it takes to run for president, Daniel?
Money?
Yes, an ungodly amount. But there's something else. Of course, you hope those who run do so out of a sense of duty or a real calling to help people. And I truly believe most of us who have run and served do have that calling. But there is something I'm absolutely positive every single one of us shares.
What's that, Mr. President?
Unbridled arrogance.
Sir?
The arrogance to think that you are somehow prepared or capable, or that you're the one person who should run the most powerful nation on Earth.
You'd describe yourself that way?
Ask Ron. We've known each other since college.
He's always thought pretty highly of himself.
You asked why I thought I could pull this off. Because, Daniel, I thought I was smarter and faster than anyone else in the game. I assumed that no one could outplay Oliver Pierce.
You think Charles Dunwalk outplayed you?
No. He's about to watch a Democrat get sworn in as vice president. I'm pretty sure that wasn't part of his plan.
If it wasn't Dunwalk, who beat you?
The system. It moves too slowly, by design, or for what seems like all the right reasons.
Should you have started earlier?
I started earlier than anyone knows, but certain moves couldn't be made until another 50 things fell into place.
Then why didn't you just...
What? Ask whatever you want.
Why the hell didn't you just campaign against him? If you were so sure about Dunwalk, if you knew how bad he was, why did you leave the fate of this country and possibly the entire world up to some half-boiled plan that hinges on 1,000 things going your way? It doesn't make sense.
Daniel, you're still talking to the president.
It's okay.
Why didn't you do that, sir?
I just told you. Arrogance. I'm gonna get a drink. I assume they haven't moved all of the booze out. How about that scotch I owe you, Daniel?
Sure. Thank you, sir. Sorry I blew up. I hate Dunwalk too, man.
I know.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
I don't think I knew what scotch was until this very moment.
Aged 50 years.
Wow.
Not something to break out on just any day.
But definitely worth it on a special occasion.
You're a lot calmer than I thought you'd be.
Me or the president?
The president, Ron. You look like your head's about to explode.
Still can't believe this is happening.
Do you know my son plays lacrosse, Daniel?
I do. Tough break in the semis this year.
Yeah. He's still not over it. Gwen and I watched hundreds of his games when he was growing up. I don't pretend to fully understand everything going on in that sport, but one thing that always struck me was how different teams reacted to playing from behind. Some teams would go into utter panic. Others stayed calm and did what they could to try to get back in the game. Which teams do you think came back more often?
But you can't come back when the game is over, sir.
True. But you can stay calm, focused, use what you learn from the loss and apply it to the next game. Ron, can you turn up the TV? I want to hear this.
Now, Justice Martinson, Associate Justice of the Supreme Court, will take the podium. Joining him is Governor Anna Shaw to take the Vice President's oath of office. She looks absolutely poised, Rebecca.
Right, she has looked like that from the moment she arrived, Davis, and we saw that really lovely moment she shared earlier with Vice President Garza and his wife, Christina. I'll be honest, with everything that's going on, I almost forgot how significant this would be. I have chills.
I do solemnly swear
that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States
against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I am about to enter.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Sir. Excuse me, gentlemen. I need to go check on something. Daniel, it's been a pleasure talking to you. We'll meet again soon for the next round of questions.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Chin up, Ron. You fought like hell, and you changed history. Be proud of that. Thank you for everything.
Thank you, Mr. President.
He didn't think Shaw was going to change her mind at the last minute or something, did he?
No. He just wanted to see her sworn in, but I don't think he can bring himself to watch what's about to happen.
It's time for the swearing-in of Charles Duncan.
It's actually surprising that after all the time and effort and angst that led up to this moment, that it's all going to be over so quickly. The oath of office is very short, even shorter than the vice president's. It almost seems anticlimactic. Charles Dunmore is placing his hand on the Bible, and he will be sworn in.
There's some movement.
What the hell?
This message is being transmitted as a result of the activation of the emergency message system by the office of the president.
What the hell's happening, Ron?
I have no idea.
From the president? Is that Pierce or Dunwall?
I don't know.
Is he next door? Is this happening next
door? I don't know.
Mr. Clarkson, Mr. Swartz, I need you to stay in this room.
Zach, what the hell?
Don't come any closer.
Zach, what is going on? Is he okay?
Let me remind you, sir, I am armed and I need you to stay in this room.
Terms is a Spoke Media production. Subscribe for free on iTunes, Stitcher, Wondery.com, or download the new Wondery app for Android. Featuring Michael Federico, Robert McCollum, Kent Williams, Whitney Holotic, Jeffrey Schmidt, Mark Schechtman, Sally Vale, Aaron Roberts, and Lindsey Graham. Creator and executive producer, Lindsey Graham. Co-executive producers, Keith Reynolds, Michael Federico, and Robert McCollum. Coordinating producer, Aaliyah Tavakolian. Music by Lindsey Graham. Written by Robert McCollum and Michael Federico. Directed by Robert McCollum.
Hi. I'm Lindsey Graham, creator of Terms. So, at the end of this episode, I thought it would be good to bring in Rob McCollum and Michael Federico, writers of Terms, and ask them a few questions. I started with Michael and asked him what made writing for Terms different from some of the other writing he's done.
So, this was... Terms has been fascinating from the get-go. I think even when we started way ahead and had this idea of what we wanted to do and the audio drama and all that coming together... And then I think it's been even more interesting because we've been sort of been able to move quickly and make, I don't want to say adjustments on the fly, but sort of address things that have come up that we did not foresee, you know? I think we started thinking Dunwalk was this sort of beyond the real life thing. And then, you know, every week something happens in the real world. And I think we've, not that we've followed that completely, but have been able to make sort of some twists and turns come in the show of with our ability to sort of keep up with current events along with the outline we've had from the beginning. So that's been probably the most interesting thing for me.
Yeah, I was really interested because in the beginning we talked about this really being a procedural, that this was going to be about the how and not the why so much, that we were going to talk about the motivations of the characters, but we weren't going to spend a whole lot of time allowing them to preach. It was just, this is what I believe and this is what I'm then going to do about it. So the fact that then current events started to happen and people started filling in their own whys without us having to paint that in, like kind of wherever they were on the political spectrum with what was happening, they found parallels and assigned those to the characters as they saw fit. So the blanks that I was worried that we were leaving unfilled and that was going to be a problem turned out to be a huge benefit because people were able to make this
timely by the way they filled in the blanks.
Yeah.
Now, your two characters, Ron and Daniel, kind of drive quite a bit of this story, and I think from different directions. How you two also wrote each other's parts so that you weren't really writing words for yourself. How did that work out?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some crossover at some point where we just, from the nature of it, had to write our own. But for the most part, Robert wrote Daniel, and for the most part, I wrote Ron.
In a lot of ways, also unwillingly, like, I didn't want Ron to be a huge character, and you and kept writing stuff.
Yeah.
And I wanted Daniel to be a huge character, and you were pushing back on that.
Yeah.
So we kind of forced ourselves to be in it more than we had intended.
I think part of it was... because of that, we didn't want to be like, I'm making myself a star. But the other part, I think as actors, I think I have an opinion of what Rob is really great at that he might not acknowledge. Where I'm like, no, man, this is right in your wheelhouse. And I think he pretty much was the same when he was writing Daniel. I think we've worked with each other a lot in multiple capacities as actors, and Rob's directed me and things. And I think we have a pretty good grasp on what each other do decently. So it was really fun for me. I love Ron. I mean, so, and then the first time Rob recorded, I was like, yeah, totally. This sounds exactly like I hoped it would. And from there, it just seemed natural to keep doing it that way for me to write Rob's part and vice versa.
It's really easy to write for people when you know their voice kind of in your head. And that's been, I think, a benefit to us all the way through. We got an amazing, amazing talent pool in Dallas, Texas of actors that we know and have worked with for years. And so being able to write with that person in mind, like knowing, okay, if we can get Sally Vale should be our Anna Shaw, and let's write for those strengths.
Yeah.
And Senator Schiller, let's see if we can get Mark Aristano, because I know what Mark Aristano sounds like, and I know that he's amazing and he can pull that out. And he's another one of my favorite characters of the smaller characters that we've seen. And all the way through, we've had just incredible performances from people that were going to be great in their own right, but the fact that we knew ahead of time what they were capable of allowed us to write to those strengths, and I think it really benefited the project.
So when you're writing for other characters that actually you have a very good idea of how and who they will be embodied, so that's the easy part. What was difficult? What scene or episode just killed you?
I think for me, the hardest one, I mean, just, I don't know if everyone knows, like, some Rob would take the lead on, some I would take the lead on, and then some were very much collaboration. The hardest one for me that I sort of had the lead on was when we finally got Dunwalk and Pierce into the room together. And I know we all mapped that out and went back and forth, and I thought those two guys really did a great job, but I just felt like we had been building up and building up and building up, and you know, it's not going to end in a fist fight, it's not going to end in guns drawn or whatever. So it was really figuring out how to pay the two adversaries off in a room where they still have to at least feign, at least for a time, that this is all above board. That was, I think, the hardest episode for me to write. I'm happy with how it turned out, and Robin, you know, obviously we went back and forth, but that was, I think, the toughest for me.
Rob, what was your hardest scene?
I think my hardest scene, along the same lines, was the first lady and the wife of the vice president, Christina and Gwen, who are voiced by Lydia Mackey and Christy Vela, who are both incredible actresses, and kind of the same way we had that anticipation all along of like, oh, this is going to be great, this is going to be great. And then you're sitting there looking at the blank page going, oh, crap, I have to write great. This has to be awesome because we have these two talents coming in. And we really, we struggled in the timeline or in the outlining trying to figure out who's going to bring the vice president's wife to task for leaking information to Daniel. Like, someone has to bring her back in line. And it didn't feel right for it to be Victor. It didn't feel right for it to be Pierce. And at that point in the storyline, Gwen was kind of checked out. And so when we kind of all collectively sat around and went, oh, wait, what if that is Gwen's return? What if that is Gwen's being back and being on board? And once we had that, it energized a whole new level. And that's one of my favorite scenes now.
Yeah,
two of
me
them.
Too. I love it. It's great.
So intense, and it's a great performance. And I feel like it leaves great unresolved tensions to potentially come back if and when we are able to do a season two.
Yeah.
When we started this process, we had a lot of reference points, you know, West Wing being an obvious one, and sure. Even House of Cards being, you know, obvious to us. But what did you not want it to be?
I think for me, when we kind of sat down in the beginning and said, what is the viewpoint of this? What is the idea, the big idea that we wanted to talk about? And I think for me, it was always, let's make a discussion beyond just the excitement of this drama and the story unfolding, but on a bigger level, let's not make the discussion of right against left or conservative against progressive, but really make it about what is the role of government? And do we trust this strange way that this country has decided to comport itself politically? Do we trust that system? And what does it mean to have that put in question? And specifically politics itself, the idea of compromise and deals and sometimes backroom behind the scenes deals, which is a very big part of the way our government works and has gotten us to this point, you know, through not always cleanly, but over the last 200 some years, it's gotten us to this point. And now suddenly that's in question, both in our story and also in the country right now. But I really wanted to make that the issue as opposed to who we thought was right or wrong. And that's kind of why we started out with, let's make this a Republican president and a Republican incoming president so that it's not just right against left.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, I think I saw something on, someone had, I don't remember who, had tweeted out sort of their disgust with Pierce in recent episodes. And I mean, to me, that plays into what Rob's saying. This is, you know, we set Dunwalk up for who Dunwalk is, but I mean, to me, the interesting thing is Pierce in the right, you know? And I think trying to stay away from making it right versus left, or like you said, progressive versus conservative, it is about this one man's view of the role of government a lot of the time. And is he in the right? I don't know. I mean, I think.
And does he at some point forsake that or lose that
for his own, you know, quest or whatever?
We've had some amazing actors come in and play some good characters with depth and a lot of background, and they go through quite a bit of turmoil. But who is your favorite character?
Zach. Yes. Secret Service, the president's body man, Zach, played by Aaron Roberts, absolutely is the star of the show. Nobody understands, but he is the emotional center. He's the core of this show.
The moral compass.
And as you just heard in episode 12, it all comes back to Zach.
Weird children.
Distributed by Wondery.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Terms ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today, or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.